Okay. Let me get my notes here. Okay, full disclosure first off. Something happened yesterday. Joey, by the way, was supposed to be preaching the message today. I got a telephone call yesterday from John saying that Joey is sick. So he gave me a couple of options. One was to do the sermon myself. The other one was to find somebody else to do the sermon, which I thought, yes, great. And the person I picked on was Bobby, of course, because she does a great, great sermon. But then I find out later on in the evening that Bob is sick too. So I thought of another option. I thought maybe I'd just pick somebody here to kind of come up and do this thing for me. So, and Chris did come to mind. But then I thought, no, he'd probably do a lousy job anyway, so. No. Anyway. But the full disclosure is this, that this is Joey's message. I'm going to be delivering to you Joey's message. And I'm going to be doing it in the third person. In other words, this is him speaking, not me. Although, actually, I agree with just about everything he's got in here anyway. But I'm saying that so that you're not going to accuse me of plagiarism when I do deliver it. So I'll just give you his message, okay? Everything we believe, everything we do, and everything we live for can be summed up in these 8 words of our gospel today. Whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And by the way, I might be interrupting some of what he's saying there because I've got a few questions that I'm going to be perhaps asking to get you all involved, okay? In the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, we hear Jesus say, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Now, Joey has always thought of himself that Nicodemus, as a ruler of the Jews, must have been afraid of the implications of associating openly in conversation with Jesus. As far as he can remember about this meeting between Jesus and Nicodemus, it always struck him as odd that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. This obviously had to be an important detail for John to capture the time of the day, the time of day the meeting between Nicodemus and his Savior occurred. Nicodemus says to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God. No one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." In his heart, Nicodemus knows Jesus is the Messiah. Even though he might be afraid to publicly profess it, he believes in Jesus. Now, just an aside from that, I made a note that aren't we all just like Nicodemus? Can someone in here tell me in what way you might be like Nicodemus? Maybe it's just me.
No, I'm not a tax collector, but I'm a lawyer.
Pardon?
I'm not a tax collector, but I'm a lawyer.
Was Nicodemus a tax collector?
Was he a Pharisee?
Pharisee, yeah. He was a Pharisee. Okay. When I read this and I think of Nicodemus as being afraid to come to Jesus during the daytime, I'm thinking that he was afraid of his peers. He was afraid of other Pharisees, afraid of what he was being thought of by those. And I don't know if you're the same, but I do, sometimes. I didn't think on that part. Actually, that's a good point. where I was coming from, and I'm thinking, and maybe where Joey was coming from too, was that why I feel that we might be like Nicodemus is that there are certain things like praying in public. When we go to a restaurant, if we want to say grace, do we always say grace when we're in a public place in front of others? Are we worried about what other people might be thinking of us before we say grace? So I'm seeing a few heads go like this. So I think there are a few Nicodemuses among us, right? Anyhow, I digress. Joey goes on. And Jesus knows Nicodemus believes in him, which might be why Jesus doesn't seem to treat Nicodemus the way he treats the other Pharisees. We know Nicodemus plays an important role as he and Joseph of Arimathea ensure that Jesus is given a proper burial. Without the death and burial, there can be no resurrection of our Messiah. So I've got another question. What is the difference between Nicodemus and the other Pharisees?
He's thinking out of the box.
Yeah.
You know, the Pharisees are all about the rules and regulations and, you know, conforming to what everybody else believes, but Nicodemus truly believes.
Absolutely.
Steps out of the box.
Good one. Anybody else got anything? See, what came to me was that Nicodemus is actually seeking God. He's looking for him. He's asking, he's going to Jesus, asking him questions. So there's something going on in his brain, in his mind, thinking, here's this guy, he's doing all these kind of miracles, and they're all, the miracles he's doing could only be miracles of God, so maybe he can help me find God. Because he's a Pharisee, he's one of the ruling sect officials in his particular religion. And he is actually seeking God. The other Pharisees, or many of the other Pharisees, are seeking to just keep their control. They're just seeking their position among the people that they live among, which is what a lot of us do as well. I do, anyway. Okay, so Joey goes on. What a wonderful gift God gave to the world, his only begotten son, Jesus. How many of you would knowingly give up one of your sons or daughters, being fully aware that somebody was going to kill them? Think about that. Joey knows that there is no way he would ever be able to do this. He's not the only one. And Jesus came to earth not to destroy it, nor to exact just punishment upon it, although we all pretty much probably deserve it. But instead he came to show mercy and grace, which is exactly what he wants us to show one another. And this is to Joey, actually. I said, my only correction on what you have written here is the pretty much probably part of us deserving what we get, or what we should get. There's no pretty much probably about it. We all deserve death or punishment. To continue. If someone slaps your cheek, turn and give them the other one. If someone takes your coat, give them your cloak. How hard is it to do these things? But yet, how easy is it really? Joey knows he fails miserably oftentimes, just as Jesus told Peter in Matthew, when Peter asked him, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Anybody know what Jesus' answer is?
70 times 7,
which is metaphorically an infinite number. We cannot forgive enough. And Jesus' answer is 70 times 7. That is how many times God will forgive us if we just penitently ask for forgiveness and turn to him. The final 2 paragraphs of Joe's message I'm going to finish in the first person for obvious reasons. Every time I do something that I know is not favorable in God's eyes, like how I want to point the finger to lay blame elsewhere, I know that I am forgiven for how I treat my fellow man, woman, or child. How do I know? I can't explain it. I just know it. It's there, just like the wind. We can feel it. But we don't know where it comes from or where it goes. But we can just feel it. Or every time somebody truly wrongs me and I know I have the power to forgive whoever that may be. Both of these things, giving and receiving forgiveness, are gifts from God. That is the wonder of His great mercy. Today I would encourage each of us to ask God, who is it I need to forgive today? And likewise, from whom is it that I need to ask for forgiveness? My hope is that we can all have the strength and courage to live, as we say every Sunday, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Amen. Yeah, that's it. Okay, let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, grant us the opportunity and give us willingness to serve you day by day, what we do, and how we bear each other's burdens may be our sacrifice to you. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.